O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest they bring me to nothing. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with a humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. Wherefore, I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips,
and our mouth shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
We say the Venite. O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and show ourselves glad in him with psalms.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
In his hands are all the corners of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also.
The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land.
O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Here ends the reading.
Psalm for the day is Psalm 81. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the Lord God of Jacob.
Raise a song and strike the tambourine, the pleasant harp with the lute.
Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day.
For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob.
This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand.
I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were freed from the baskets.
You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah.
Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me.
There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The second reading is taken from the Gospel according to St Mark, chapter 2. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him." And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Here ends the second reading.
We say the Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song.
Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name.
For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us,
and grant us thy salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen,
and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness,
and make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people,
and bless thine inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
because there is none other fighteth for us, but only thou, O God.
O God, make clean our hearts within us,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
The Collect for the Day. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him as he changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I used to hate Sundays as a child. It was a day when you had to wear your most uncomfortable clothes. You weren't allowed to play games. You weren't allowed to read anything other than the Bible. Church was three times on Sunday. But this was the 1950s. And I'm sure there are many similar experiences of parents having been brought up in that sort of environment. But it was a rather repressive view, certainly gave me a repressive view of Sunday or the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the Pharisees developed a lot of rules. Hebrews could only walk fewer than 1,000 steps. They were not allowed to carry anything in their arms. They couldn't light fires. A whole set of particular rules to be observed on the Sabbath. And even these days, if you are particularly devout Hebrew, a number of things are prescribed. You're not allowed to write, erase or tear. You're not allowed to do business transactions. Use the telephone. Turn on or off anything that uses electricity and so on. But what does Scripture say? Our reading from Deuteronomy, echoed of course from Exodus chapter 20. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It says, the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord your God. On it you shall do no labour. The Sabbath was a day to the Lord. There was no labour for it. The Hebrew society at the time was an agrarian society. Much of the work, much of the life was involved by physical labour. And if you spend your life labouring, then you do need rest. Exercise 23 verse 12 says, you don't do any work so that you may be refreshed, so that you may be refreshed. And Christ, in the New Testament reading we had, says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man because we need a rest. And of course we are allowed to do good, as Christ did in healing the man with the withered arm. Christ was trying to get his disciples to refocus, not on the rules, but on the spirit, on the principles of this fourth commandment. And it does us good to take note of what he was trying to achieve. But what are the principles then? What are the principles? Well, firstly, it is a command. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And while the Sabbath day used to be the seventh day following the resurrection, the early church made the Sabbath day the first day, which is why we now have Sunday rather than Saturday as our holy day. But observing it was a command. Second principle is that one day a week is supposed to be special. Keep it holy. Holy, of course, means set apart. You should do no labour on it. Perhaps the best way of interpreting this in these days, rather than reading it as physical work. Read labour as what you do to live, whatever your job is, however you earn your wages, what's your paid work. That is not something you do on Sunday. There are problems, of course. Farmers in the dairy industry know that their cows have to be milked on Sunday. There's no getting around it. And where it leaves retired people who don't do their paid work from Monday to Friday, where does it leave them? But one day a week is to be kept as special. Third principle is it's a day to the Lord, kept holy, set apart to the Lord. We're not supposed to be Christians only one day a week, only on Sundays. But this one day a week is a particular opportunity to reflect, to meditate on Christ, on God. And we have got into the habit of meeting together in church, to meet with God's people and share jointly the corporate nature of our faith. It's interesting to note that if you read Acts chapter 2, the early church, every day they met, we're told, every day they met. But one day a week is set apart to the Lord. And fourthly, it's set apart so that we may be refreshed. We need physical rest. But there are those whose work is not physical, it's mental. Teachers, for example. And perhaps for those sorts of people, rest and refreshment may come in physical activity. But if you look at our makeup, we are physical beings, we're spiritual beings, we're mental beings, we've got artistic and creative talents and tendencies. Our refreshment can come in all or any of these aspects. And it may be entirely appropriate to pursue sport if one's main activity during the week is mental. But the priority, of course, is to do it to the Lord, but that we may be refreshed. I'm sure many of us, or most of us, have seen and watched the film Chariots of Fire, where the athlete Eric Liddell, who later became a missionary to China, would not compete in heats for 100 metres at the Olympics because they were held on a Sunday. And despite all protestations and all persuasion by many people, he was adamant. But it so happened that he was able instead to compete in the 400 metres, though it wasn't his event. But he honoured the Lord, gave the Lord priority. And just before the final of the 400 metres, he was given a little note, a little quotation from scripture by one of the American athletes. "He that honours me, I will honour," says God. And Eric Liddell won the gold medal because he honoured the Lord. But there is one day a week, one special day to keep holy, that we may be refreshed. God's creational rhythm, it's been called. 6 days we labour, one day is for a day of rest. It's interesting to note that in the French Revolution, in 1793, they moved to a 10-day week, part of their decimalisation drive. 10-day week just didn't work because people ended up so tired. God's creational rhythm is to spend 6 days working and one day of rest. So perhaps we can ask ourselves, are we honouring God's commandment? I don't believe we need to have a set of rules like the Pharisees had and like many Christians had many years ago. But are we honouring God's commandment to have one day special, one day dedicated and devoted to the Lord? Are we observing God's creational rhythm? Are we setting apart one day to God and for refreshment. Whatever we do, our priority at least one day needs to be to meet with God and his people. This is our priority. We need to do things for God in the name of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask you, help us to honour you and honour your commandments, remembering that we are not bound by a set of restricted rules, but we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father through him. Give us, we pray, a thirst for the things of you and a desire to share our Christian lives with others of your church, building each other up in our faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our country. We ask you to bless Elizabeth, our Queen, Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, Charles, Prince of Wales, and all the royal family. Bless them, we pray, and may they be an example to all of us. We pray for our government, the opposition, those in authority. Give all those who need to make decisions wisdom, we pray. May they not be motivated by self-interest, but by righteousness, by mercy, by compassion. May they act with integrity, especially in this time of adversity. May all those in authority live lives that give a good example to all. And we do pray for those who are adversely affected by the pandemic, whether it's illness, isolation, those who have lost loved ones and are bereaved, those suffering economic hardship, failures of their business perhaps. Give strength, we pray, to all these, and also to those working to bring solutions, especially the medical profession and the rollout of the vaccination. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray too for our community. Help us to be supportive of those who need it. Help us to be sensitive to their requirements. We think particularly of those who are ill, those who are facing difficulties that we know of. And we name Ian and Hilary James, Clarice Bourne, and those known to us, we name in our hearts. We think too of the children and young people who are suffering difficulties in their schooling, in their education. Be close to all, we pray, in this time. May all those facing difficulties know the comfort and the presence and love of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each one of us and those we love, now and always. Amen.